This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Dear Christians, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It's true, it happened in just that way. God made all of the things that we see, and as the completion, the pinnacle of his work, he knelt down into the dirt. He formed the man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into the man. And the man became a living being. God got down and dirty and caused that first man to breathe with his own life-giving breath. Thus, humanity began. Your life was already assured then. The life of the world came through the breath of God. The very Spirit of God, breathed out by the Father and the Son. And when God had finished all his work of creation, he looked at what he had made and he said it was all very good. Thus, the creation. But that very good did not last very long. Our forefathers and mothers fell into sin in just a short matter of time. And as soon as sin was a part of their life, so too were the consequences for that sin. Death. Death that affects you and me. Death that we fear and dread. Death that hurts, that fills our lives with pain and sorrow. Death that takes away our loved ones. Death that destroys our flesh, leaving dead and dry bones behind. All of that because of sin. That deadly sin is still present in you. That deadly sin is still present in me. And that deadly sin was still present in the people of Israel 2,600 years ago when Ezekiel wrote our Old Testament lesson for today. For years before that time, the people of Israel had been warned about their sin, warned by prophets, warned by angels, warned by God. Repent of your sin. Turn away from it. Leave it behind. Stop blaspheming the name of your God. Stop turning your back upon him. Stop ignoring the preaching of the word. Stop despising your God-given authorities. Stop hurting people. Stop fighting. Stop your adultery and your idolatry. And despite years of warnings, generations of warnings, the people continued to sin. They forgot about the long-term picture and lived for the day, for the moment. You only live once. After all, might as well enjoy it. So after hundreds of years of warnings, God followed through on his judgment. The people of Israel, the people of Judah, were both conquered by foreign masters. Their people were killed, and those who were left alive were carried away into exile, some of whose descendants would return, many of whose descendants would never return. Ezekiel, already away in exile in Babylon, speaks about his own people, the people of Judah, and says that they were dead, dry bones. The Lord tells Ezekiel, "These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off." The gifts of the Lord had departed from them because of their sin, and all that was left was death, ruin, and damnation. Because of their sin, they died. Because of their sin, their lives ended. Because of their sin, their flesh rotted and decomposed, leaving dead, dry bones. Your sin, dear Christian, does the same for you. Your sin is every bit as serious, as deadly, as important. Because of your sin, you too one day will be a pile of dead, dry bones. You already are dead in your sin, while still alive, at least for a little while, here on earth. Dead to sin, your bones dried up, your hope lost, your life a struggle. Dear Christian, you are guilty, just as guilty as those people of old, just as guilty as those people who were conquered and led away. You've turned your back on God at times. You've blasphemed, despising preaching, especially it hits close to home. You turn your ears off to not hear about what you have done. You fight with your neighbor, even with those whom you love. You curse, you swear. You hate the authorities God's placed over you, in the exact same way the people of old did, maybe more. You've turned your back on God, the very God who knelt down to form your body, to breathe life into you. You are a sinner. And sinners must die. You're a sinner who lives amongst sinners, other sinners who try to push their sin upon you to assuage their own guilty feelings. if they can make you sin the same way they do, then they don't feel like what they do is wrong. Just this morning, I saw an example of this in the news. Pastor Poppy will share more about it in Bible study. In LPS classrooms, signs saying all means all, so that your children can be pushed into the sin of denying God's holy creation and be made political pawns of a world that's failing and dying. Sin is real. Sin is present. Sin desires to be your master, to rule over you. It's uncomfortable, isn't it, to be a sinner, to know that truth, to know that you will die, to know that when Ezekiel sees a valley full of dead, dry bones, that it's you that he sees. That your flesh will rot away, the flesh that you so love and cherish, that you spend so much time and money taking care of. How hard is it to think that it's just as dead as any other skeleton you see lying in a field of last year's winter-killed cattle? It's uncomfortable, but it's the truth. It's our situation. No one here will escape the grave if left to their own devices. The best doctor cannot keep you alive forever. They can only put off, perhaps for a little while, what will happen. Dear Christian, know this truth. You sin, and as a sinner, you will die. But hear what God tells Ezekiel about the dead, dry bones of Israel. Hear what God says to you, dry bones. I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord. He will open your grave, dear Christian. He'll put the sinews back on your bones, just like happened in the Valley of Dry Bones. He will build again your flesh, your body, out of the dust to which it has decomposed into. He will take what was putrefied and make it pure and clean and holy. He'll put the hair back on your head, the skin back over your muscles and body. He'll make your heart beat, your blood flow, your lungs breathe in clean, fresh air. He will recreate you, just as he created our first parents in the very beginning. And as for you, dear Christian, on that last day, He will kneel down next to your recreated body and breathe into you life. Life to the full. The Holy Spirit will enter you again, and you will be raised forever. The breath will come into you, and you will live and stand on your own feet. And kneel on your own knees before your God. He told Ezekiel, I will do it. Words fulfilled in Jesus, who says, it is finished. How can this be? How can something that's dead be made live again? It's impossible. No doctor can do it. No science can do it. No political movement can do it. No worldly thing can do it. Only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can restore life to what is dead. God the Father will recreate your body. Why? Because God the Son suffered and died in your place for your sin, giving all that He had, His life, His blood, and more, so that you would not have to stay a dead, dry bone. And He rose, just as we celebrated last week, this week, and every Sunday. And since He has risen, you will rise too. You will live. You too will have hope and promise and eternal life. This is most certainly true. And so, dear friends, it is this Holy Spirit that Ezekiel prophesies to. Prophesy to the breath, God says. It is this Holy Spirit that comes to you, to your ears, today, making you alive again. Wherever God's word is preached and taught in its truth and purity, the Holy Spirit is at work, making dead sinners live, pointing to the satisfaction for sin in Jesus Christ, calling, gathering, enlightening people that they might see Jesus, the stain of their sin, put on Him, the death and the devil being destroyed. It's the Holy Spirit, the very breath of God that enters your cold, dead bones and makes you alive forever. A veritable army of God. In the beginning, God created man in His image. He formed him out of the dust of the earth. He breathed life through the Spirit into his lungs. And he became a living being. Man turned away and died. But God will again breathe His Spirit into those who believe in Jesus. It's what He did in our gospel lesson for today. Do you see what Jesus does after He has risen from the dead? He breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He does the exact same to you, here, now, in this place, through the word that is preached into your ears. He washes and cleanses your raised body in the waters of holy baptism. He feeds you with the food of heaven, the very body and blood of Jesus. He creates faith in you. He promises you life. And life to the full. Even if you die, yet will you live. So be alive. Leave your sin behind as best you can. Live like a Christian. Love God. Love your neighbor. And when you do sin, confess and be forgiven. Live as a Christian, calling sin, sin. But living in the mercy of Jesus. Live as if you will never die again, as if death no longer has dominion over you, because it doesn't. Live as if Jesus truly destroys death forever, so that its bite has no teeth, its venom no effect. Live as a Christian who will raise and live forever with God in His kingdom. Live not because you're a nice person, or because you have a family to live for, or because you want to succeed. Live because of Jesus. Because He lives. Because He always will live. And in Him, you're not a dead, dry bone. You're a Christian. This room is not a field of skeletons, but of Christians. New creations in baptism. People loved by God. Purchased by Christ's blood. People who will live forever. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.